But let me start off by saying that the siege and the ultimate captivity of the city of Jerusalem and the subsequent carrying away into captivity of the citizens of Jerusalem and of the country of Judah brought about some of the most horrific situations that the children of God have ever faced. Once the city was laid siege to, poverty and starvation became the norm. It was so bad that cannibalism was not uncommon. People were dying of starvation. People were resorting to eating their children. Desperate measures to try to stay alive. It was horrible. Not only were there physical ailments and disease as a result of not having very much good, nutritious food and sometimes none at all, but there were emotional problems. There were mental problems as a result of not knowing if you were even going to be able to eat that day. You may not even have a house to stay in. You might have to spend your entire day outside. The conditions, I don't think we could even begin to imagine how bad they were. And these are God's chosen people. These are the people to whom God has said, through you, I will bring the Messiah. And it is under these circumstances and in these horrific conditions that the following words were written. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven me and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He breaks my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stones. He has made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as the target of his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace, and I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. What a graphic picture of just the pain. And not so much the physical pain, but just the mental and the emotional anguish of having to suffer all of these things. And I think I'm safe in saying that all of us in the audience this morning have suffered. But I'm probably safe in saying not to this extent. And I don't mean to make light of anybody's suffering. All of us here have suffered physical pain and maybe live with it constantly. You may be here this morning and not knowing if you're even going to be able to eat lunch this afternoon. You may be here this morning wondering how you're going to even pay your bills. You may be in the midst of foreclosure procedures on your house. Been there, done that. And I can tell you, I don't remember a whole lot about it. But what I do remember, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun calling that 800 number saying, okay, I can't make my house payment this month. Well, Mr. McElwain, you're several months behind. We can't let you go much longer. And I remember calling that 800 number back and saying, okay, it's yours. I can't afford it anymore. It's not fun. You may be wondering how you're going to afford your car payment or how you're going to put gas in the car. You may be living with circumstances where you don't know, you just can't take your sick child to the doctor because you can't pay the doctor bill. You may be living in circumstances where you can't even afford health insurance. You may be at the point like the writer was when he says, my soul is bereft of peace. I remember what Job had to say after he lost all of his flocks and his herds and his children and his health. He says, what I have feared has come upon me, and what I have dreaded is upon me, and my soul is in turmoil. Life sometimes is not a lot of fun. Life sometimes is hard. And some of us face painful situations. Some of us face terrifying financial situations. And we just don't know how we're going to make it. And we finally say, I've given up. I give up. I can't do it anymore. And those of us who are God's children have the added burden, if you will, of wondering, where's God? What's happened? I mean, what I just read to you, the chosen people of God are suffering. And I can guarantee you, I think, that a lot of them were saying, hold on a minute, what's going on? And it's probably of little comfort, knowing me, if I had lived back then, I probably would have said something like this. For those of y'all who know me, you would understand. I'd probably speak up and go, well, why don't you just go listen to what Habakkuk said? Because what Habakkuk wrote about was, why are you letting all this sorry, sinful stuff go on? And God said, you know something, Habakkuk? You're right. I'm going to take care of that. And I'm going to take care of it in a way that people will not soon forget. And so he brought the Babylonians in to take care of his people, which they did. And this is what happened to his people. And I can imagine there were a whole lot of them going on, hold on a minute, that's not fair. We're your people. Why are you letting us suffer like this? And I would imagine there's some people in this building today who have suffered and may still be suffering and have questioned why. Because I am your child. I have confessed my faith that your Son is the Christ, and I have been baptized for the remission of my sins, and I have declared that you are my Lord and Master. Why are you treating me like this? Why have you set me as a target for your arrows? It's not fair. It's not right. You should not be teaching your you should not be treating your children this way. And then the writer says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so in the midst of all of that terrible suffering, watching his fellow children of Israel just suffer and die from starvation and be carried away from their homeland and to suffer all of these things, the writer says, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I remember that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. And God is faithful. Now, the thing about all of that has taken me a long time to learn, and I still struggle with it. I know, and I am thoroughly convinced, that God is faithful and that he is merciful. What I have trouble with is that he's faithful and merciful on his schedule, not mine. Not mine. And a lot of times I think that's where our difficulty comes in, when we feel that God is not listening to our prayers and that God is off taking care of somebody else and that my prayers aren't going any higher than the ceiling and that God just doesn't care about me anymore and that, in fact, he has set me as a target for his arrows. But the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Great is his faithfulness. And as he says there, it's good to wait. The Lord operates on his schedule, not mine. And I have to trust, and I have to believe that in the end, it's going to end on a high note. Now, easier said than done? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is pain fun to experience? Nope. Is wondering where your next meal going to come from? Is that fun? No. Is wondering whether or not your house is going to be foreclosed on a pleasant experience? Again, from experience, I can tell you, no, it's not. If you had asked me 40 years ago what my life was going to be like, nothing against you all, nothing against the city of Indianapolis, but I would be on the lecture circuit going to colleges and universities and corporations talking about my 8 years of experience as president of the United States. I never would have thought in my wildest dreams and in my worst nightmares that I would end up a divorced father of two. A divorced father of two children who don't go to church, who don't care about the Lord. That's not easy to live with. But the Lord's faithful. And the Lord is merciful. And in the end, it's going to be okay. So whatever you're suffering this morning, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, all of those, if you have feelings of despair that God doesn't care anymore, if you're wondering why he's off taking care of somebody else and not you, and if you're down on your knees several times a day pouring your heart out to God saying, please, please help me, and it seems like he's not answering, just call to mind and take hope that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases and his mercies never come to an end. And his faithfulness is great. And that in the end, all that's going to matter and all the pain and the suffering is going to seem like nothing when we hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys that I have prepared for you.